It was with a great deal of excitement and anticipation that another link in the Great Rivers Greenway plan was announced a few years ago to include an elevated park utilizing a 100-year-old train trestle in North St. Louis. But the project seems off track. We've received some inquiries through our Curious Lewis website feature, in which you ask questions, we provide answers. Listener Josie McDonald asked,
"When I saw the trestle overpass, I was really eager to try and go and experience it. I rode my bike down to the where I thought that the opening to the trestle would logically be, and there is no ingress onto the trestle. I assumed, by the way, the overpass on Highway 70, I kind of assumed that maybe the trestle would connect up with the Riverfront Trail, which is really one of my absolute favorite attractions in St. Louis. But the trestle is inaccessible from either side. So I'm just wondering what's going on with it."
Well, apparently there was a problem, a $60 million problem. Joining me in studio is Seth Treptow, Communications Manager with Great Rivers Greenway. Seth, thanks for being with us.
Absolute pleasure.
So what's going on with the trestle, to paraphrase and quote Josie?
You know, the trestle was it's a project that we still really want to be able to tackle. The grand idea of it, it's going to be a cultural and recreational space very similar to the High Line in New York City. But it's really comes down to dollars. The number thrown that you just mentioned, $60 million, is what it's going to take for us to rehab it and make it the kind of space we want to make it. We did a feasibility study a couple of years ago to look at where those dollars could come from, because Great Rivers Greenway is a tax-supported organization, and for us to tackle all that using tax-supported funds would really make it difficult for us to serve the rest of the region. We serve taxpayers in St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and so we have to, you know, respect the mandate of all the entire region. And so we can't really tackle that individually. So we really have to find that private-public partnership dollars. Well, when we did our feasibility study a few years ago, we found that those dollars currently aren't available. There are some other larger capital programs that are taking place that are a greater priority for the region. And so we had to put the project on the back burner temporarily. Once the climate changes a bit, then we'll be moving full steam ahead.
Sounds like you kind of bit off a little bit more than you could chew.
You could say that, but it's one of those projects that you know, you have to dream big. And the trestle is definitely a project worth tackling. It'll be an incredible gem for the St. Louis region. There's only so many of these elevated linear parks in existence around the world. And everywhere that has them, they are a destination people want to go to. And it's something that we feel would be a really incredible project to bring to St. Louis. It's just right now is not the time.
So there is no kind of timetable, I gather. You're really waiting for sources to develop for that funding.
Exactly. And we look at all kinds of different options. Someone suggested recently, pursuing a bond, to be able to raise the capital for it. Problems with bonds, those have to be repaid. And again, we are trying to serve an entire region, not just this one project. And so if we could find ways to make that happen but still serve the rest of the needs of the entire region, then we'll definitely find a way to move forward.
Where exactly is it? I'm not sure that everybody is familiar with the site.
It's about a mile and a half elevated trestle. It actually used to be a commuter train. It was an electric commuter train that came from Illinois down into downtown. It goes basically to the McKinley Bridge to Branch Street. And, it's a big undertaking. And eventually, if we can do this, it will connect to the Riverfront Trail, as the caller said. And it will then come into downtown.
What exactly is the plan for it? I mean, obviously, you're going to dress it up quite a bit, but how?
Yeah, if you're familiar with it, if anyone wants to look at the High Line in New York City, I highly recommend it, because that's really what we're kind of trying to pattern. That is a elevated railroad, very similar to the trestle. You have green space, you have plants, you have, we were going to have gardens. So it would be kind of wouldn't just be a path where you could walk or bike on. It would actually be essentially a garden in the sky.
$60 million obviously is a lot of money. I'm just wondering why it costs so much. I mean, what you're describing is not all that elaborate.
Well, there's a lot of things that go into that. Certainly you have the infrastructure. There's a little bit of difference when you're having a train moving by back and forth. But when you're having, you know, a more active live load with having plants and vegetation, you have to make some changes there. You have amenity changes if you're going to make it something safe for people to walk across and access and spend time on. You know, this is going to be somewhere we actually hope to actually make an event space, where this would be somewhere where you could have concerts and activities and actually be a revenue generator. And so to have all those amenities in place, that adds up quite a bit when you're talking about this long of a stretch.
This is a link in a chain.
Yes.
And so there is no link here because the trestle is not yet operational. So what does that do to the chain?
Well, you know, our chain, ultimately, the vision for Great Rivers Greenway is actually have a 600-mile network that connects the entire St. Louis region, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, St. Louis City. And so this is just one portion of that. And all of our projects, we try to break down into fundable and achievable goals. And so this is just one, you're correct, link. But we have many other links that we're working on. In fact, there's been renewed interest in this project because of some development on the north side of St. Louis, you know, with the NGA coming into that area. And so we were looking at what we call the 14th Street Greenway, which will be taking that section of 14th Street. We'll be putting a portion of that on what we call a road diet, where we could actually take a larger road that doesn't need as many lanes as it has, reduce it down, have separated bike paths, facilities, and then that would then connect to, and that would kind of, again, maybe breathe some new life into this project down the line.
Couldn't it be utilized as simply a bike path until the 60 mil is forthcoming?
That's a great question, and I can't go into you personally. I don't know the exact specifics of why one way or the other, but a lot of times one of the largest costs you have for construction is the mobilization, you know, bringing the crews out there to be able to do the work. So, yeah, you could do things in stages, do it all at once, and then do another. I don't know dollar-wise how efficient that would be, but that would be another option that could be explored.
You were able to paint it a couple of years ago, weren't you?
Yeah, we were, but we kind of lucky break on that. One of the biggest costs when it comes to painting bridges or doing any kind of bridge work is having to shut down the highway. And we lucked out that that section of 70 was being closed for the stand span, and so we took advantage of it, and we were able to do the painting work and save a great deal of money on that.
We heard from Josie a little while ago, and she said that she was stymied by getting onto this. So there is no access to it now.
Currently, there's not. We don't really want to have connection onto a area that we currently consider to be unsafe.
How many Josies are out there? Have you had a lot of inquiries about this?
We do. We get quite a few inquiries. It's probably one of the more common questions that we're asked. And unfortunately, we really don't have a better answer at this point. And I really look forward to the day that we do.
You mentioned the Highland. Is that what it is in New
York? The Highline.
Highline in New York. And there are others in other parts of the country, aren't there?
Chicago, I know, has been developing one. Atlanta has the Beltline. So when we started this project a few years ago, we were kind of, you know, way ahead. But some other cities have caught up. And so we're not going to be, you know, on the very tip of the spear when we get this, you know, completed. But we will still be ahead of most cities, and it will still be an attraction that very few cities have.
Would you anticipate that when it goes online that it will be used more by pedestrians than cyclists?
Well, you know, we have trail counters, and we keep an eye on our metrics throughout our system. And so we have people who use the trails for transportation. We have people who use them for recreation. It's a pretty good mix. Certainly the greenways that we have that had more mileage and more connections to them are much more attractive to cyclists because they want to be able to get out there and ride a larger number of miles. So when we have this and with the connections with the on-street routes and the existing Mississippi Greenway, we do expect it to be attractive to cyclists.
If it's not too complicated for a listener to absorb, can you give me some sense of what the master plan for the Great Rivers Greenway is and where you are at this point?
Well, we're about 113 miles into a 600-mile master plan. We were founded in the year 2000 with the mandate to connect parks and streams within our communities. And so we are trying to develop a system of greenways that basically tie together the entire region, connecting people to their parks, their communities, to each other. And so, you know, we have to do these in small chunks, and sometimes, we're able to put longer pieces together. And for a number of years, we were able to take advantage of some existing right-of-ways and existing trails and improve those, brings those up to a higher standard. But right now, we are kind of doing smaller chunks at a time. Large reason for that is that land acquisition is something that we have to have. We can't just put a trail through someone's backyard. They might have an issue with that. And so what we have to do is find ways that we can acquire property either through easements or outright purchase. And then when we have enough of those strung together, then we can build a greenway.
You don't have any access to eminent domain regulations, or do you?
It's nothing that we pursue.
No.
No. As with the kind of organization that we are, that it's not a tool that we have in our box.
My impression is that you have established a foundation now to raise money for the trestle. Where are you in that?
Well, that's correct. We did start a foundation, the Great Rivers Greenway Foundation, and it's going to be pursuing those public dollars from corporations and from individual donors, and it's going to supplement what we do. So we have our taxpayer support to kind of do our main projects, but this is going to allow us to bring in some extra accoutrements to different projects and also to pursue specific projects that might be just outside of what our mandate from the public is.
Well, what's the breakdown with regard to the difference between corporate donations and support and sponsorship and individuals?
Well, currently we have very little on the foundation side. We're kind of in the very infancy. We're only about a year or so into that, so we're putting together still the plans and putting together the right personnel. But once we get going with that, we're going to really try to tap into that community in a direct and holistic way. But then we do share services with the actual organization, so we kind of have a master plan that in all things that we work together.
What are some of the organizations that you're working with?
We work with Enterprise quite a bit. They have a lot of input into what we're our foundation directions. But then we really look more as far as our projects of how we can build relationships with those. For instance, with one of the greenways we're going to be starting in 2017, the Shoto Greenway. It should be a small section in the Cortex area. It's going to be only going to be a quarter mile to start, but eventually it's going to go from Forest Park all the way to downtown. The City Foundry, which is a great development that's happening in that area, is very interested in what we do. They see the work that we do, and they understand that bicycle pedestrian access is something that people in the technology industry are very interested in. So they are finding ways that they can work with us and partner together to kind of create a greenway. It might be a year or two down the line before we can really start on that. That will tie into their what they're working on. And so some of those partnerships are going to come really much more from the projects we do. And so it's really exciting to see as more things happen, how those things can develop down the line.
Boy, it seems anymore that all roads lead to Cortex one way or another.
Yeah. It's a very exciting area.
Yeah. And the idea of connecting Forest Park and downtown, this would primarily be a bicycle route, I'm assuming?
We don't do anything that's specifically for bicycle only. Mm-hmm. It's all shared use. So mm-hmm. what we're trying to develop would be something that would be for pedestrians, it'd be for cyclists, for people, walking their kids or in a wheelchair. Everything we do is we try to build to be ADA compliant because we really want to keep access in mind.
If you have something that ultimately surfaces from downtown to Forest Park, what would that be like? I mean, would it be a portion of the street that would be set aside for this kind of traffic, or would it be a separate path, separate and apart from the streets and sidewalks?
We work quite a bit with the on-street facilities, the Gateway Bike Plan, and, we did extensive amount of work with that to find those shareable corridors with the street. But anything we do as a greenway, we try to make it sure it's separated. Mm-hmm. So the things we're looking at would primarily be separated paths.
I'm surprised that a downtown to Forest Park is in the latter stages of development as opposed to one of the earlier stages.
It's a project that's been on the table for quite some time. Yeah. And we were fortunate to receive and be included in a $10.3 million Tiger grant, which is also going to include the Metrolink station at Cortex and some other Metrolink improvements. Mm-hmm. Which is going to make this first section possible. And once we have a section on the ground, it's much more easy to start expanding from there.
What sort of a budget are you working with? I mean, you threw that $10 million figure out there. That's not chump change.
Well, I mean, that's not just us. That's a shared grant for the St. Louis region. But, we work with I don't even want to throw the exact number out, but it's in that $20 to $30 million range per year from tax funds that we are able to use for capital projects.
Yeah. Who sits down and decides what the projects are going to be long term?
As a taxpayer-supported organization, we try to be as transparent as possible. So when we are developing these projects, we have a board of governors who are represented by constituents from St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County. And within that, there's a planning committee. So each
these are civilians as opposed to government officials.
Right? Well, and they come from all different areas. So some represent the government, some represent just pure citizen interest, and some have a little bit more expertise within the planning field. But they all have a very vested interest in establishing and growing this network. So we start a process. It takes some time, So we'll meet various points of the year, and we have different deadlines where we'll have the basic plans. Then we kind of go through, meet with the planning committee, that then goes to the board. So we're actually now in the process of finalizing our budget and plans of what we'll be doing for 2017. And so that basically will be our roadmap for 2017, and then about midway through 2017, we'll start laying out the plans for 2018.
Typically, how responsive are local governments to you folks coming in and making requests?
It varies, just like anything does. But overall, I think they're very receptive. We have a shared interest in making St. Louis region a more vibrant place to live, work, and play. So when we go to these communities and we say that this is what we want to do, I think that more often than not, they are interested in finding out how we can work together.
I'm sure there is occasional resistance, and when that happens, what are the objections?
With anything, of course, there's resistance, and more often than not, it's lack of understanding. Maybe we haven't done a good enough job of explaining what our wishes or intents are. Maybe we haven't done a good enough job of explaining what the overall vision is. And sometimes there are legitimate infrastructure concerns. Maybe there's something that they have planned or they have something going on that we might not fully be aware of. And we don't just – it's not just with municipalities. We work with a lot of the other governing organizations throughout the region, Metropolitan Sewer District. They might have wishes or needs that we might not be aware of when we're working on a project. So then we'll have to work together to find a common solution.
Yeah. I have a tweet here that I'll read to you. I'm not quite sure myself exactly what the reference is, but you'll probably know. Will the River Ring still be on track to finish quicker, more quickly, I guess I should say, since passing an extra sales tax? And is there a timeline?
Well, the River Ring is what we refer to our 600-mile network, and that's these interconnected system of greenways. Currently, there's 16 greenways that we're working on, about 54 projects within those 16. We really try to follow the creeks and streams and the watersheds. Over time, once we get those complete, we're going to expand out, and there'll be even more legs and segments within the network. There was an additional sales tax passed that was a part of the referendum that was the City Arch River project. And so those funds do allow us to pursue some additional capital projects. Part of what we're looking at right now isn't fully, there's the greenways we work on now, they present different challenges than what they did a few years ago. When we first started off, there were many options on the table that provided more linear miles. So now the projects we work on, they're a little bit different. They're not more difficult. They're just different. It requires, a different infrastructure, requires different land acquisition, requires different permitting. It has, different municipal partners we work with. So it takes time. I don't think it's going to speed things up. It's just going to, open more doors.
It's more complicated than people would think, obviously.
It's incredibly complicated.
Yeah. We have a caller here also looking into River Ring. Maybe it's repetitive, but let's find out. Sandy joins us. Sandy, it'll have to be quick, though. Time's running out.
Dan, thanks for taking my call. I was one of the original people part of the Great Rivers when they had their initial, many years ago, when they first started they had a lot of people to work together for the River Ring. And I have to say, I'm just really frustrated because that took a lot for those first 10 years. They really got a lot done. I mean, over 100 miles. And in the last six, not much has been done. And I'm really frustrated because I don't see anything really out there about the River Ring anymore. I see stuff about conservation and a lot of excuses. I'm an avid cyclist, Don, and I'm really frustrated. And I pay my taxes.
Sandy, okay. We can hear the frustration in your voice. Seth, go ahead. Aren't you glad we took that call?
No, I'm glad you took that call. It's a frustration that we share many times as well. As we just touched on, it's not a cut and dry process. And there are many things that go into it. And, it's a different challenge now than it was a few years ago. It doesn't mean that's a challenge we're giving up on. We're still working very avidly on every project that's on our table. In the next year, we'll be doing an extension of a greenway in St. Charles County that's going to include, you know, having installed two bridges over highways 364 and 94. We'll have the Shodo Greenway that's going to be starting. We'll be doing extensions to the River de Pere. We'll be doing an extension to the Deer Creek Greenway. So there's projects that are happening. Sometimes, though, the planning process just takes more than what we would like it to take.
Sure. Do you have any sense of how well utilized these various greenways are?
They're used quite a bit. We do, you know, counts. We keep an eye on things. We have, you know, user testimonials come in. And plus, we are avid users ourselves. So, but yeah, last year we had about 2 million trips taken on the greenways. Now, I can't say if those were 2 million people. I'm sure there were a lot of repeat users. We certainly hope there were. But yeah, we estimate that 2 million trips were taken on our greenways last year.
Ever any thought to charging those people for use?
Absolutely not.
Guaranteed.
That's not what we're here for.
I want to thank you so much, Seth Treptow, for being with us. Seth is the communications manager with the Great Rivers Greenway. Listeners can ask their questions about St. Louis at stlouispublicradio.org/curious. And St. Louis Public Radio reporters and producers will report on their questions, just as we have here. Seth, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work. You've been at it for a year now. Onward and upward. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.